Well, good evening, everybody. It's Thursday. It's 8 o'clock, and you are all very welcome to our little live show that we do once a week. We are gathered together here, and I hope that you're all well. Great to see you back, Gauram. Yes, indeed, you were truly missed. We have a lovely little community here, I think. Great people, and whenever any one of us vanishes, then or disappears, then obviously we're all very pleased to see you come back. Hello, Anne Marie, great to see you. Leslie, my good friend, of course. Farmer D is here. Jed's in the studio. I don't know where Patty is. City troll. I wonder if he has trouble with the old time zones. So yeah. So I just I'm good. Chris Davies. I see Chris is back with us this evening. Hello. Chris, great to see you here. Now, we've got so much stuff to talk about. Believe you me, we've got loads of stuff to cover this evening. So just to get you warmed up, I want to talk about, I mean, I know it seems really strange, but it was actually when we did our live show last Thursday, the news hadn't come through about Princess Catherine. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because it's a big issue. Been in the news a lot anyway. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Bridge, the bridge over the river. Can anyone guess what the name of the river is that it goes, that it takes people over? There's a good trick question, pub quiz. We're going to chat about the happenings that we saw in Moscow, a few days back now, and we're going to chat about that, and in particular, who might have been behind it. We may talk about JFK absolutely blowing any chance of the presidency. And then of course we no, not Chesapeake, Gorham. No, quick work faster, everyone, figure out who it is. Hi, Joel, by the way, great to see you. Adrian, see you there as well. We're talking about Easter. Here we are in Easter week. It's, you know, very important week in the Christian calendar, and so if you go to London, you will join in the celebrations of Ramadan ding dong. Ramadan is being celebrated in London. So yes, Northern Monkey, the usual spicy topics, and well, they all seem normy to me. That's how far gone I am, Northern Monkey. Everything I talk about, I always think it's incredibly normy, and in no way, you know, it's controversial. So you can understand my complete lack of or surprise whenever people go, "Oh, you shouldn't talk about that." However, if someone tells me not to talk about something, I'm much more likely to talk about it anyway, actually. Hi, Nath, good to see you, my friend, as well. So good, I think we've got most people in the room. So Adrian's here, I know. So Adrian can slide into the studio whenever he wants, and just on cue, boom, he's done that. So we are just missing our American friend, and I don't know where he is, but I'm gonna maybe we should all club together and buy him a clock. Hi, Jed, I'm gonna say something.
It's nothing to do with the time zones, mate, and it's nothing to do with us not landing on the moon or 9/11. It is to do with the app not letting him in. So I've told him to reboot his phone and give it another try, mate.
Okay, yeah. Well, here, listen, before we're going to kick off in a second, but again, I'll always give you, I'd like to start off by giving you all a heads up. So, heads up on Monday night on the live show, we're going to have a really a great guest, Laura Arboli, talking about the whole transhumanism thing. So, from transgender to transhumanism. You don't want to miss that one. Oh, by the way, a big thank you to everyone who came along to watch June Slater talk with me Monday of this week. So we've got Laura coming up to talk about the whole transhumanist thing. And if that wasn't enough, I mean, you know, we definitely try to give you guys as much a variety as possible, and this is long overdue. Well, by popular request, we're going to tackle the Monday after that, which is Monday the 8th, I think. We're going to talk about we're going to have a brilliant guest on to talk about 9/11. Yeah, 9/11 is going to be tackled. So the next 2 weeks, transhumanism and 9/11. So as you can gather, I'm super duper normie, just talking about normie subjects.
Is 9/11 to do with not landing on the moon and stuff like that? Because Pally's here.
You mean not landing on the moon? Damn Yanks, can't log into a phone call, can't drive boats. You know, I don't know about what's going on.
Since when do we drive boats? Do we not?
Well, exactly.
Americans, what do they know about the English language?
We're murdering it.
Paddy, you're very welcome, as is Adrian as well. Thanks for coming in the studio. Well, I haven't seen our friend Grantonio. I don't know where he is. He normally appears this time. I can't see him this evening, so unless he's being held hostage, I don't know where he is. But anyway, you're all welcome. And so let's kick off then. Chris Davey says, James Dellingpole has done a 9/11 podcast with an ex-pilot, which was very good. Yeah, I heard that one, Chris Davies. I'm doing a 9/11 podcast with an architect, a San Francisco Bay architect, who set up a very, you'll be really impressed, Chris. This guy has really got the receipts in terms of, well, let's say the World Trade, the Building 7. We're going to talk about Building 7, and we're going to talk about then, obviously, the Twin Towers. All of this, Leslie, is coming up the week after next. But transhumanism next Monday is going to be brilliant, actually, really good, because there's so much of the stuff we talk about, and basically it is this transhumanist agenda. It's just we talk at different sort of different dimensions of it, but it's really good. You'll enjoy Laura. She's excellent. Right. So last week when we were talking, we did talk about the missing Princess Catherine, if you remember. And then the news came along, I think it was last Friday, that the video came out, which alleges to be her, which I'm still not sure about. But Adrian, we forced them, Adrian, into coming clean. Last Thursday, we talk about it. Friday, Kensington Palace go, God, we got to get something out. They're on to us. So the video came out. And in the video, as you know, Princess Catherine said that she's being treated for cancer. And basically, the media then turned around and said, shut up. Do not talk about this anymore. So we're going to talk about it. And Northern Monkey instantly on the case here, as I expect from you guys. AI can do wonders these days. So, right, oh, God, here he, and by the way, drum roll, here he is. I saw Grantonio enter the studio there. So I think we've got the gang with us, guys. We have got the full number. So thank you all. So I'll go around and ask everyone their opinion. I mean, just off the top, I'm not sure that I have big questions about that video. There's some things are not right about it. However, you know, you lot think you have it bad, right? Having to tolerate me. But can you imagine what it's like to be my wife and you get all this stuff completely uncensored, right?
Our wives are going to get, they've earned their place in heaven, David, multiple times over and over. Jed's wife.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, these people are definitely on a different level. But she, I said to her, look, I think this video is AI. I don't believe half of this. And she said to me, and this is a good argument. She says, yeah, but you'd think if it was AI, they would do a better job at making her look a bit better on it. Because she didn't look good in it, did she? She did look someone that was unwell. If it was her, but anyway, I don't know. So look, I'll go around the team. Adrian, we'll start with you. What's your take on, you know, the shenanigans over the past week since we were gathered here together with Princess Catherine?
I'm still as confused this week as I was last week. So it's cancer, but they're not telling us what kind of cancer, and she's on preventative chemo. But surely if you have cancer, you know, it's not preventative chemo. You're going through chemo. I don't know. There's just a lot to it. It just makes no sense that they won't tell us the kind of cancer that she's got, or do they not want us knowing that maybe it's not a good long-term prognosis or something? I don't know. But I'm still as confused as last week.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Adrian. Like, Like, I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure about anything about the Royals at the moment, because, as you said, we don't know what type of cancer she has, but she's on this chemo, the special chemo that apparently your hair doesn't fall out. And Prince King Charles has also, Adrian, been obviously got the cancer diagnosis. Again, we don't know what the form of cancer is. He's almost, 2 months into the chemo that he's getting. And again, no evident symptoms. I mean, don't you find that strange, Adrian, that, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, I came out of, I was at a local leisure centre there late afternoon, and I came out of the leisure centre, and there was a lady walking in front of me, and she'd obviously been having chemo, you know, because she'd obviously lost the hair, and it was pretty obvious. So I don't understand how come the Royals, what is it with them, Adrian, that they can get chemo and everything's super duper fine? Explain that to me.
Well, she's probably getting something different that we're not, but they're calling it chemo because that's what the poor people go through. You know, don't be surprised. Like, she will probably be getting some kind of new drug or drug that's there that's very expensive, but the paupers don't get on the NHS.
Yeah.
You know, is it something like pancreatic cancer that, you know, they can't cure? Is it that bad that they can't tell us, you know?
What the thing is, Adrian, that's what they said, King Charles. I mean, the rumors were that he has pancreatic cancer, and the survivability of that, Adrian, is really not good. You know, I mean, and as for her, but the thing is, she looks worse than him, I thought. What did you think of how she physically looked? What did you think of that?
But she's looked very, very thin, very, I don't know, very gaunt this last few years anyway. There's nothing to her, you know. You could break her in half, I think, if you bent her over your knee. You know, she's like a stick. And yeah. I'm not running her down, but there was never much to her in the first place. So I don't know, like, you know, if she was going on TV, would they want her looking $1 million? No, because they want it to resonate with the public that she's suffering, she's ill. So yeah, she's not going to look like a princess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, Jed, come to you next on this one. I mean, obviously you've seen the video of her, and do you think it was all plausible? What do you think's going on?
I don't think it looks like her, to be honest. I appreciate she's ill. I appreciate that. People can look, as Adrian said, quite gaunt, and I think she looks gaunt. I've thought right from the outset, though, she's anorexic to start with. You know, although she had, I don't know, it's past tense or not now, a beautiful face, absolutely stunning lady, but she's always looked extremely and sickly thin. But, you know, we know that chemo is radioactive particles bombarded at the cancerous areas. That is why you lose your hair. That is why you're sick, because you've actually got radiation poisoning. And, you know, you look at all those at Chernobyl, that's radiation poisoning all over your body. I appreciate chemotherapy is directed and pinpointed to the relevant area, but you suffer from radiation poisoning. That is why you get sick. That is why you lose all your energy. That's why you lose all your hair. Now, she could be wearing a wig, okay? It could be, you know, a syrup that she's got on. But the thing is, none of the pictures that we've discussed last week, none of the pictures, none of the videos we saw prior to the announcement, I thought in any shape or form were her. They were pictures that were pulled together very poorly by, and I mean my level poorly, Photoshop editing, and the video that certainly wasn't there. Now, to say that, now you said, so what sort of cancer do they have? Because it's two members of the royal family. I think it's vaccine cancer is what they have, and I think it should now be classed as a new form of cancer. All those that seem to be getting these, we've discussed turbo cancers, et cetera, et cetera. I think the new classification should now be vaccine cancer. But again, I think it has been mentioned by Adrian, and I'm sorry if I missed your point, mate, is I think this is the build-up, the propaganda for the RNA cancer vaccine. Oh, look, the royal family got it. Now, either they are ill and they have got cancer, or they're not, and they're now lining us all up for, well, look, it cured the royal family, and if they take it, you should take it. Yeah. Mm. Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just want to answer the question, though, that Mrs. Jed is a very fortunate lady, Leslie. Okay. And she's very, and whoever else mentioned it, very fortunate to have had me for all these years. And 30, I think it's 38 years this year. She's so lucky to have me.
Yeah, well, there we go. Well, congratulations to you and Mrs. Jed. Paddy, on this one, you're obviously watching these royal sort of cancer stories.
Not if I have a choice.
Well, I see. Because what you've actually got is cancer in the White House. But anyway,
I know. We've got our own disasters. We've got enough problems. We've got a walking nightmare over here.
Hang fire. Don't worry, Paddy. We're going to talk lots of American stuff tonight if I get out of my way.
But the royals are suffering. The royals are suffering. Jed beat me to it. You got to stop letting him go first. They're suffering from COVID cancer, plain and simple. And it's like, and they're not, and the reason they're not saying what type of cancer is because it's COVID cancer. And they don't want to know that they contaminated. They helped push the contamination of over a third of the world's population with a cancer causing drug. Yeah.
Yeah, they both did. I mean, you know, there is that sort of video footage of both William and Kate and Charles pushing the jabs, the miracle jabs. But somebody said, I heard somebody having a go at us conspiracy theorists saying, aha, this proves them all wrong. If she has
eight
cancer,
out of 10 conspiracies have come true. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, same. Yeah, but their argument is, it's proven us all wrong because we said that the royals only would get the saline drip version, you know, not the full on, spike protein to your eyeballs water version. But if they've got cancer because they got then that means they actually did get the full on vax. So, you know, choose a side, conspiracy theorists. What do you think about that argument, Paddy?
You know, they say to get the saline shots. And I believe these fools actually believe this, believe their own hype. I honestly do. Most politicians and people believe their own the own crap that comes out of their mouth. So it's like, and this is, you know, this is karma. This is, you know, life's a circle. It does come around. You don't always see it. This was a self-inflicted wound. And it devastated. There wasn't a nation in the world this didn't affect. And the people in charge made it worse.
And you know, Adrian, one thing about this that makes me queasy, following on what Paddy and Jed have said, is that, you know, if you look back in headlines over the past several weeks, we've had Pfizer and we've had Moderna both telling us that they're gambling big on their cancer mRNA jab. And I'm sorry, Adrian, but when I see that, and then I see these two of the most high profile people in the world coming down with cancer, I think that's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah, I do, but like, do people understand what the mRNA thing actually does? It reprograms the proteins that make up your body. Like, why would you want to reprogram your body to do anything? You know,
I completely agree. Yeah.
This is dangerous beyond level. This has not been studied for long term effects, causes, anything. And it doesn't matter what they rebound it as whether it's a miracle cure for cancer, I don't know, piles, herpes, whatever people have, I still wouldn't be taking it. You know, they have not proven themselves over this last few years. They've done nothing but hide and demonize other drugs that would have been beneficial to people, shall we say, rather than this experimental medicine. And there's no justification for more.
Well, Northern Monkey here on the stream says that BioNTech Pfizer are at stage 2 trials at the moment. So that's pretty high, far advanced.
Have they changed from mice to dogs this time? Because remember the last time it was 10 mice that it was tested on?
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably how
who believes them? Who believes their numbers? How can anybody believe in anything that these people tell us after the?
Well, I think that's what unites many of us, Paddy, on the stream. That, I mean, if I did a hands up round the room here, everybody's in the virtual room, and I asked the question, you know, 4 years ago, back in January 2020, right? Did you more or less go along with what Big Pharma and what your GP told you and so on and so forth? Because I did. And honest to God, in 2021, I think, I turned so much that I don't believe anything they say. I've got zero confidence in them. I don't believe in any of their vaccines. People say, oh, are you an anti-vaxxer? Yeah, I am a complete anti-vaxxer. It's everyone else's choice, don't get me wrong. But I personally have done 360 degree, you know, I mean, there's just no way I believe them. Jed, how would you compare your views, you know, now towards, you know, the people that make vaccines and what your doctor tells you? How would you compare that now versus how you felt, as I say, at the beginning of 2020?
I trust, can I just correct the record? It's 36 years this year, Maureen.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Right,
44 years we've been together. Yeah. Anyway, because I suffer from asthma. I've trusted them all my life, to give me the right drugs for the right. And they do for that, but I think there's been a sea change, you know, in the last 10, 15 years maybe, and particularly over the last 3 years, where Big Pharma have gone from producing generally drugs that tend to treat people and treat people for their disease or their illnesses and conditions that they've got, to how can we now maximize profit? It's all about maximization of profit. And that's, I would say that's something now over the last, like I said, 10, 15, maybe 20 years. And it's been super boosted over the last 3 years. And this, I think what they're doing now, and yes, I trusted them then. Do I trust them now? Well, I've got my medication here and I've taken it tonight. I've taken my inhaler tonight. And I trust that because I know it works. I don't know what other things it's doing to me, but for the condition I've got, it relieves it. Okay, so I'm happy with that. And if in the end I die because of some other side effect of that, well, I could have died of the illness I've got. Yeah. So, but I just find that they seem to have got away scot-free, so to speak, with the mRNA jab for COVID. And I think now they're going, whoa, this is a money-making machine. If we just keep racking out vaccines made from the same stuff for everything, we'll have a vaccine to change your eye colour next, won't we? And a vaccine to stop you going bald, and a vaccine to make your farts smell nice. But they're all made from the same core elements, aren't they? And it's the fact is, I think they now think they have free rein to ram these vaccines out. And I think this is where the psyops is coming in, where the national statistics are saying, oh, no, there's no excess deaths. Yeah, no, we've changed. We do our figures. We've done them like that forever, but we're changing them now because, oh, my God, look at all these dead people around us. You know, I see dead people is what I think people are saying now. I see dead people. And I think they're maximizing. So do I trust them to answer your original question?
Yeah.
I don't anymore, mate. I don't. I'm like you. I've perhaps not done as many rabbit holes as you are, so I do pity your good lady wife, because I know you and I've spoken to you directly, and I know the amount of rabbit holes you have done, and I do pity your wife. She's a very lovely lady, I'm sure. But anyway, that's my answer to your.
It is so weird, you know. I mean, all of us here, I think, have been on a journey, as the lefties say, and my journey's been, you know, 100 miles an hour away from allopathic medicine. I don't believe in most of the things that they say and do. But Jed, you make a really good point. I mean, that is not to say that everything is bad. Not everything, and maybe some things, you know, do people so good.
Look at their track record, sorry, over the last 50, 60 years. What have they really cured?
Nothing.
You know, look at the billions that's pumped into cancer research by big pharma, by charities, and you're telling me they still don't have a cure for it? They still don't understand it? Come on.
Well, of course, Adrian, I could say to you, yeah, but what is cancer? You see, that's another rabbit hole. What is cancer?
Something's
rotted.
That's
what, I don't know enough about it, Paddy, but I want to do a live show. I'll do this as well. I'll try and get someone to come on, and we're going to talk about cancer specifically.
Realistically, do you think the $100 billion cancer research industry is trying to find a way to put itself out of business?
No, Adrian, no.
No, it's not.
No.
And there has to be something better than blasting a human being, as Jed said, with basically radioactive poisoning. There has to be a better way.
Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, and that's the key point when it comes to the cancer thing. I don't understand why if you've got this cancer condition, let's call it that, and I am conscious that, there may be people on this stream or listening to this stream who have encountered cancer. I'm very aware of that when I say these things. But nonetheless, I'm with you, Adrian. So you've got this condition, let's blast the hell out of it, like almost give it like an internal nuclear little blast of radiation. That doesn't make sense to me. But then once your eyes are open to allopathic medicine, I would say that very, very little makes sense. Do you know? I mean, sorry, Jed, you want to
I'm sorry.
In there?
Yeah, I do. And it's because of what you've just said, though. Now, the thing is, obviously, being exposed to radioactive material will give you cancer. It will. It eats away at your organs. It eats away at your internal bits and pieces. But ultimately, it will give you cancer. Simple as. So we're treating cancer, which is an uncontrolled growth of cells. So it's cells that are that are growing out of control. That's what a cancer is. Yeah. And we're treating that with a thing that gives you cancer, which is radioactive bombardment. Although, it's pinpointed and technically it's not, what people got at Chernobyl, for example, but it's still radioactive and it shouldn't be in your body. We're surrounded by radioactivity all the time. And there's different parts of the country that are more radioactive than others. I know this because I'll just say that.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, Leslie here on the stream says, have you heard Kate Shimarani on cancer? Yeah, I have actually, because I know that she had a very bad cancer diagnosis and she basically walked away from the traditional methods, Leslie, of treatment. And I think she's doing pretty well now. So, and Gar Ram says, look at the stuff that they're pumping into our water supply and food. Don't tell me that.
Do you reckon there's something natural on this earth that cures it? Because you look at how this earth is and how it's been designed for us humans, how the fruit, the vegetables are all designed to keep us in optimal health, there's bound to be something, because when you look at how the ancients were able to create potions with different plants to take them into like what they call the spirit world, there must be something out there that's natural that would obliterate it in no time.
My wife thinks there is a cure for cancer, and she has done for many years, but obviously that would end the multi-billion dollar business of sponging money from the public for so-called cancer research. And the farmer would lose money on that, wouldn't they? You can't have a patient cured. You have to have a patient that needs treatment. And you go, oh, well, you can have treatment. This will cure what your ailment at the moment is, but it does have side effects. But don't worry, we have something for those side effects. But those side effects have others, and it's just a constant circle.
John Saunderson says he drinks port every day and it seems to work for him. Paddy, I think you wanted to jump in there. I saw you come in regarding the fact that, the observation that do we think that there's a natural cure, so to speak, for whatever cancer is in nature?
I guarantee there is. The planet, everything we need to, everything man needs to prosper is here on this earth. It's just a matter of figuring out what it is and how it works. And, the whole thing with cancer, like I said, who hasn't been affected by cancer? It's, I think it's affected everybody's lives that we know. But the thing is, so you turn around, you look at the state, it's like they're just, we're just scratching the surface of what we're, of how we work, where everything comes down to genes and genetics and particles so tiny and subatomic that are impossible to see. And it's, they're playing with that. And because we now know how to look at it. And this drug, this vaccine was the first gene manipulation. And it's a major failure, a major failure. And they've had the largest laboratory ever in history to try it out on.
I mean, it's an interesting comment on the stream I see here, Patty, from my friend Anne Marie O'Sullivan, who I had the pleasure of meeting in London at the start of the month at the live event. And she, Anne Marie, says, "I only took chemo to keep my friends happy. I was people pleasing. Never again would I do this." And she goes on to say that, you know, it was her. She's been cured from cancer since 2008, and I used my faith in God to defeat it. So, Anne Marie, yeah, listen. I mean, this is it's a big topic. This one, it really is. And you know, and I'm well aware of the fact that this is as has been said. There'll not be a family who listens to this where cancer in one form or another hasn't affected it. But I'll tell you what, I mean, I still go back to the original point. I'm just going to circle back on this one. I find this whole thing with the royals really weird. I find it so statistically unlikely that Charles and Catherine would get it at the same time. Maybe that is, though, as a consequence. Maybe they did take the jibby jabs. Maybe they did because, you know, as has been said, sometimes these people believe their own propaganda. But if so, you know, karma, baby. But anyway, well, we've spent half an hour on that one, but it's an important
rabbit holes.
Right. Patty, I spent all day down rabbit holes.
Bright eyes burning like fire.
Yeah, all right, call me Bugs, but let's get on to the next topic, which is the other side of the Atlantic. Patty, we're going to your neck of the woods. We're going to zoom over to Baltimore. And, of course, we saw the terrible collapse of that bridge, which, Patty, what's the name of the bridge again? I keep forgetting the name of it. The one that obviously went into... Yeah, named after the guy who... The Freemason, I think, who put the U.S. Flag together, yeah, wasn't it?
Wrote the National Anthem. All the Masons and the Templars.
He what?
He wrote the National Anthem.
He wrote the Stars and Stripes. Yeah, I knew there was an angle to it, Adrian. Yeah, but anyway, Patty, I'm coming to you in this one. So, I mean, listen, I was horrified. The video, you know, the video came out showing the boat that was at the Lilo, I think, going into the supporting structure, and then the collapse was really, really bad. And my own view is that I don't think it was probably not deliberate. I think it was an accident. As the song goes, Patty, as you understand this one, accidents will happen. But having said that,
we need some background music, man.
I know. I just don't know where to begin, Patty. So what's your thoughts on this? Because obviously it's taken out Baltimore Court.
Well, the problem, like I said, the problem was the guy was like me. He was driving the ship instead of sailing it. But this is an accident. I'm like, the ship has a history of power failure problems. This is going to be, you know, what do you call it? It's all going to be in the records. They're already showing. They already were on just a cursory view, able to tell this boat has had propulsion drive system problems, in the last 6 years. So it's going to be bad maintenance, and it's going to come down to whoever was supposed to maintain it, just like these airplanes where the pieces are falling off. It all comes down to you cut your maintenance budget. This is the crap that happens. Mm-hmm. What cracked me up was no sooner had the bridge hit the water than there were people online going, "Look, it was a demolition. It was a controlled blast." I'm sure your Building 7 people will have something to say about this bridge. But...
That's a low blow. That's
oh, Patty, you're on Patty, thin ice.
I broke through the ice long ago.
So the thing about it is that, I mean, Patty, I do think that it was probably, well, the boat, or the ship rather, veered at the light, sort of started to veer off. Now, I see our good friend Gigi Law, aka Republican Rocker, saying it was absolutely sabotage. I'm not sure about that. One thing I'd like
to know. The veering was caused by when he dropped the port anchor.
He dropped anchor, yeah.
He dropped the anchor to try to dredge the bottom, and it just wasn't enough, man. It's you know, the rivers are on the east coast of the United States. People don't realize they're nasty, vicious things. Yeah, These are not like your little, you know, little river. Like, people go in the Delaware River all the time. Their bodies don't pop up again for like a week or two, you know, and they're usually in the same spot. But they go, they're just vicious, vicious waterways. And the Chesapeake Bay area, where that boat was coming from, there was no way he was stopping. And, you know, and that was it.
Were you surprised, Patty, that the bridge collapsed in like seconds?
Dominoes. It was a critical structure bridge, which means if one piece of the supporting structure goes, the entire system fails. Well, there are something like 1,100 of them in the United States.
Well, I mean, our friend David Clemens here in the stream says he can't believe that the pier, the structure concerned, wasn't protected from ship impact. Because, and he's making, that's a fair point, Patty. That means
how do you put bumpers in a 100-foot deep river with an eight knot steady flow? You know, it's like they, you know, mankind, we're good at sinking. We can sink it like we put bridges across it, so we can do it. But how much damage you got to create a funnel? How many ships would hit the funnel on their way into the thing? Say, you know.
Okay, well, Adrian, you've raised a good question there. GG Law, by the way, if you want to come in, you should come in. Adrian.
R&R is a local Delaware County.
I have quite a bit to say on this, so bear with me for a second.
Fire away. Yep, go away. Yep.
Who has watched the film Leave the World Behind? The cyber attack on Netflix, produced by Higher Ground, which is owned by the Obamas. Opening scene, ship loses GPS ability, crashes into the beach, big cargo ship. Later on in that film, the same bridge, the F. Scott Key Bridge, is destroyed too. Okay? I personally believe this was a symbolic move by the deep state. Bang. This guy created the national anthem. That's a strike at the heart of America to destroy that bridge. Now, you might find that a bit strange, but those ships, they have several pumps that work. And when they go in, they will alternate the pumps every day. So odd days pump one, day two will be, or even days will be pump two. But when they go into port, they use pump one because there's an emergency should they lose power. So that means that not only did the ship lose power, but then the backup wasn't working properly either. Straight away, Biden came out and said the government will pay to rebuild the bridge. Whoa, what about the investigation? Because surely either the shipping company should be responsible for that. So why is the taxpayer having to bear the cost of that? There needs to be an investigation. But the fact that he came out and said that didn't mourn the loss of life of anybody. I think this was a massive deep state move on the chessboard because of who Scott Key was. He also was employed by Andrew Jackson when Jackson won the presidency as the district attorney of Columbia. It's a very symbolic move. Yeah, my humble.
Yeah, no, great, Adrian. No, I'm loving all this. This is great. This is what makes this such a great night. That's a very eloquent, point of view, and lots of questions for sure. Jed, just turn to you in this one. I mean, you've obviously saw it as well. Where are you? Are you going with Paddy's it was an accident? Are you going to, with Adrian's it was a deep state attack? Well, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I think it's a bridge too far, and it's a bridge over troubled waters.
But it wasn't over the River Kwai. But it wasn't over the River Kwai.
Anyway, I was going to, that was going to be my next one, but you beat me to it, Paddy. To be honest, I've looked at this. Now, I think there's two factors here. Yes, I think it is an accident. I do genuinely think. People say, well, it aimed for that that support. But actually, it could have just kept going in the direction it was. It would have hit the other support on the other side, if you see what I mean. So I do think it's an accident. But what I do also think, I think it shows the crumbling state of the American infrastructure that's not had any money spent on it for decades and decades and decades. And not only is it the roads and the railroads, using American terminology there for the Brits, railway, but the general infrastructure of America, I think, has been left to decay over several presidents. And I think that is a factor as well in this.
Mm. Yeah,
100% agree.
We have just coming into the studio. Just bang on cue. Good timing here. Our good friend Grantonio, who joins us. Grantonio, you're very welcome. Do you want to put your pennies worth on this one?
Hi, David. Hi, everyone. I'm with you, David, on the bridge. I'm not sure if there was planning behind this, though. I do think what everything Adrian said was fascinating, and I'll take that on board. But I just think it's interesting that the moment something like that does happen, my immediate reflex reaction is to just not believe it. So last week I was at the gym, and on the TV screens comes the news, and it's an image of Kate sat on the bench. Within a split second, my initial reaction was, that's not her, that's AI generated. And then it turns out it wasn't just me. There was a lot of people on social media saying exactly the same thing. I didn't believe that it was jihadis who attacked that concert hall in Moscow.
We'll get to that one.
Okay, the other, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I didn't believe Nord Stream. I didn't. I just think it's interesting that should something happen by, I don't know what you'd call it, natural sort of purposes, natural. What's the word I'm looking for? Something that's non-conspiratorial, something that's just an accident. Accidents will happen, as you said earlier. It's just interesting that I think we've all become so blunt and so numb to all of the lies that we just initially don't believe anything that's being told to us. And it's like the boy who cried wolf. What happens when a disease, a debilitating illness, actually comes along? What happens when there's an emergency and the government tries to tell us that something bad's going to happen and we need to protect ourselves?
I suppose we've been so psyoped that we are questioning everything. And I think it's really good, Grantonio, that we question everything. Like you say, you see the Princess Catherine video and you instantly go, don't think that's correct. And when it comes to this bridge, okay, let's talk about the other aspects of it. Like, for example, Paddy, explain to us that Baltimore Port is basically taken out now, isn't it? Because nothing can get in or out because of
the largest port, I believe, on the East Coast is now shut completely down. You can't access it. They got to clear this crap out right away. I mean, this is going to affect the ripple effect from this economically is going to be felt worldwide.
Yeah. Well, Adrian, you wanted to come in. Sorry, Adrian, I forgot.
You're all right. There's so much about this boat thing. We're all talking about it, but there's another major story that nobody's talking about that dropped at the exact same time. And that's all those allegations about P. Diddy. And there's some serious people were named in those allegations too, like Prince Harry. You know, isn't it funny how everybody's just talking about the boat? But P. Diddy, who has evaded justice or the law, is not being mentioned.
And another, you know,
and there's a lot of people, a lot of other famous people would be involved with P. Diddy, I would assume.
Another thing that's not being talked about is Donald Trump became a billionaire again a few days ago, and for some reason the media aren't talking about it. They couldn't shut up about the fact he had to pay $400 million on bail, you know, last week, and all of a sudden they've gone.
I just think.
Sorry, David.
Sorry, Jed.
I'm sorry. I always interrupt you, and I do mean to do that. No, I don't, honestly.
Yeah.
I just want to pick up on the point that's been mentioned. And I do think when we see these disasters, these things happen, our natural reaction now is to go, This is PSYOP. This is the government. This is deliberate. This is sabotage. This whatever terminology you want to use. And I think that is because, to be honest, and I think this has been growing for some years now, and I think it started in 2015, 2016, with the referendum over here and Trump in the US. And I think we've learned some valuable, but in some cases, some shocking lessons about what our governments will do to its own people. And Trump was highlighting some of these and has subsequently continued to highlight some. We've gone through the pandemic, which was one of the biggest psyops ever played on the planet. We've got the psyop of the climate lunatics, etc., etc.
Yep, yep.
And I think when we see something, I believe is just a general accident, because I know that ship has a very poor maintenance record, as Paddy said, has a very poor accident record as well. It's, you know, it's crashed into ports before, you know, in when it's been docked and things like that. So I think our natural reaction now is to go, this is a PSYOP, this is the three-letter abbreviation organizations, etc., etc., whatever. And it's because we've lost trust in our establishment and our authorities and our government.
Biden will now use this to blame it for a bad economy because they can't export stuff and they can't import stuff.
But that's what I mean. It'll all get blamed for all sorts, wasn't it, Adrian? Anything that goes wrong now, just like with Brexit, everything was blamed on Brexit and it's still being blamed now. Everything, you know, the whole world was blamed on 9/11 when everything collapsed. Yeah, oh, sorry, didn't mean to make a pun there, but when the whole system started to collapse. The point is, we've lost trust. And yes, it might have even started with 9/11, if you see what I mean. And it's been building and building over the decades and to where we are now, where we get a genuine, what I think it might be a genuine accident or misconduct as a captain, whatever it might be, because the captain has a dodgy record too.
Yes.
Okay.
Hang on a sec. Chad, just on that point, any idea why we're not allowed to know what the captain's name is?
Because it's a
bit of I've seen the captain's name.
And it doesn't matter.
What's his name?
I don't know what it is, but I've seen him pictured. I've seen his pictures. I've seen things online about him already.
And what would his nationality be?
I think he's Indian. But he has a poor record. And even when the ship has been in for certain types of maintenance that he should be there to observe, he's not been there, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, Nath tells us he's Captain Birdseye.
I thought it was actually, I thought it was Albert from Only Fools and Horses. Yeah, Uncle Albert, exactly. And I did post that out on the day, and I posted it on the private group I'm in with some driving instructors, and that with the comment is it was literally the same day. I said, "Is this too early?" And nobody sent a laughter, so they must have thought.
Guys,
go and watch that film, Leave the World Behind. Okay, you need to watch it. It's there's just so many messages in it, and this was a message being sent as well. Mm-hmm. They're trying to destroy America from within. It was an attack on the American national anthem. When you truly think about it, just happened to be him, that bridge, out of them all. And if that ship was so poor, why was it allowed to sail? It's all very convenient.
Certainly, G.G. Law completely agrees with you, Adrian, and what you're saying. You know, although I would say, just out of, I mean, there were, I believe, six men working, maintenance guys on the bridge when it went down. And the thing is that one of the things that maybe does question the more conspiratorial aspect of this is that I understood that the workmen, Paddy, had actually closed the bridge. The bridge was closed. They were closing the bridge. That's why there wasn't any, I don't think any cars actually went in. They closed either end of it. So it still doesn't validate what
was
saying.
No, there was cars that went in.
There's several cars in the water. They're just not talking about them. Yeah, they're just not talking about them. It was 1 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. The bridge got notified 2 minutes before the ship hit to stop the flow of traffic. It was cut down already to one lane.
Right.
So there really wasn't a lot of traffic on the bridge, but there was an 18-wheeler. They dragged two people out from the water that, one was really critical. One was actually doing okay. But the whole thing is, too, I wanted to say about the captain. The ship was being piloted by the Pilots Association. You cannot enter, I believe it's all of the American harbors, without one of our people coming on and steering a ship this large into port. It was a Maryland Pilots Association that was actually driving the ship.
David, that's the same in the UK. You have to have a pilot to bring a ship into port and out of port. We have the same system. But the captain is there as well.
And was it not a diversity hire that they didn't, that they had?
Well, just because he was wearing a dress and a planner on his head, I don't know.
This suggestion that they've used diversity hires, do you know something? I think it's hateful. And on the 1st of April, I'm going to be reporting all of you to His Majesty Humza Yousaf's government. And
I'll give you my address.
Well, actually, Grantonio makes a very good, interesting point that from the 1st of April, there's the hate crime law that, or the blasphemy laws come in Scotland, by which point we're all scuppered. So I don't know what we're going to do, Grantonio. You and half the Scottish population may well be under investigation by Police Scotland if you say anything at all that in
just
any way might hurt
as a minority group, and they won't prosecute you.
Well, us Scots, we all wear skirts anyway, as you all know. I actually think we should all put something out on the 1st of April. I hate Humza Yousaf, something like
that. Well, I'm sure I can imagine social media will be replete. Although, I think...
Wait, is this law... one question. Is this law coming into effect on April 1st?
Yep.
That's April Fool's Deliberate. Day. That's April Fool's Day.
But Paddy, that's how they humiliate. They know that. They know exactly what day it is, and they bring it in. And what's more, you know, people like, say, J.K. Rowling, because I think that's one of the people they want to go after, could well be in trouble very, very quickly, because we haven't time to talk about it tonight. But honestly, the legislation that's coming in Scotland is off the scale. And of course, they'll do it elsewhere as well, Adrian. We'll have it in Northern Ireland. When Stormer gets in, you'll get it in England as well. We're all going. This is the way these, you know, tyrants operate. So count yourself lucky, Paddy. You're on the other side of the.
We got worse lunatics over here. I'm sorry. It's like you guys are a microcosm. Imagine take all the weirdness and insanity that you're going through and multiply it by 1,000, and that's what we're dealing with.
I'd happily Paddy. I'd happily.
Yeah, because the difference is, Paddy, as you frequently remind us, at least you guys are armed.
And on the most part, for most Americans, they don't really even, they're not even aware of 90% of what the hell's going on. People don't pay attention. The only thing they're aware of is that the cost of gasoline has doubled under this president. And if nothing, all this other crap, most of them don't even, are even totally unaware about. I just put up the hearing that lays out Joe Biden's crime family and his criminal enterprise up on davidvance.net. And it's like, got no coverage. Eyewitnesses, documents, whole nine yards, and it was ridiculed and got no coverage. But, you know, but the price of gas, though, is $5 a gallon. And although I know that would be like heaven for you guys, for us, that's hell.
But you see, you keep talking about your bare arms. I just think you should cover them up with the amount of sun you get each year. Otherwise, you'll end up with skin cancer.
We've already covered cancer. So we're into the last 5 minutes or so of the show, folks. Unless I get another 600 of the golden coins, whatever they call them, then we're stopping at 9 or thereabouts. So we need to rattle on here. So the other big story that hit us was the events that happened in Moscow at the Crocus Concert Hall, when 137, I think, people, or round about that, were shot to death by a bunch of a gang of four Islamic jihadi, who were then captured. So they were captured. Pooty Putin got them. And, well, that's going to be really interesting because maybe we're going to find out who exactly was behind that. And just off the top, all you guys can tell me what you think. I'm all ears because this is a program where I don't do all the talking. Well, Gauram beats me to it. Well done, Gauram. I believe this was ultimately sort of US/NATO driven with Ukrainian influence over it as well. This was another psyop from the wicked, rotten, and I'm Paddy, I'm saying this with respect, US, as in, you know, the Biden regime, US. And, you know, Putin's restraint has been remarkable, unbelievable. So I think this was CIA, ultimately, or three letters, Jed said, three letters security agencies. I think that. So I will go around the room. We'll come to you last, Paddy, this time, because Grantonio, I mean, you've obviously seen the footage of it. I mean, it's really awful, all that loss of life. Do you think it was just four radical Islamists who rocked up and wanted to just start killing people? Or do you think there was a bit more to it than that?
As you mentioned, they were caught or they handed themselves in. They were escaping, I think, on the way back to the Ukrainian border. I don't think it's too hard to get three or four low IQ people. You send out a message on Telegram and you offer them a truckload of money. In that part of the world, it's really not hard at all. So, no, I don't believe the official story, as I've already said.
Good man. Grantonio, yes. Adrian, we'll come to you next. Do you believe this was just radical jihadi, or do you think this was radical CIA?
Well, it's interesting. Like, ISIS were destroyed and now they've come back. So ISIS were destroyed. Those that were left decided to flee to Ukraine. Why Ukraine? It's not like it's another Muslim country for them. So why would they go there? Mm-hmm. We have a certain person who called out Obama and Clinton being as the founders of ISIS back in 2016, but that's another rabbit hole for people to go down. This, mm-hmm. in my opinion, is just, as was already mentioned, offer some people a load of money, possible citizenship somewhere, whatever. Mm-hmm. Go and do this. And then, unfortunately, they've been caught, and now they're the patsies.
Yeah. I mean, Jed, again, do you take, I mean, obviously, we seem to have a consensus here. Grantonio, Adrian, myself, we're all saying this was definitely staged. It was being driven by, you know, as I say, nefarious US-linked forces. What do you think?
It certainly weren't ISIS. ISIS fighters die at the scene. So certainly not ISIS. Very much I'm in favor of CIA and NATO, as you are, because what we need is why Russia, for example, yeah, why would ISIS pick on Russia as opposed to anywhere else, yeah, across the globe? You know, America would be a good target for ISIS. The UK would be a good target for ISIS. France. Yep. Would be a good target for ISIS. Yeah. Why Russia? So that's one question. And then I suppose being caught is the other question. ISIS fighters don't get caught. They murder themselves. Why? Because, as it's been said in the comments, they want their 72 virgins. I don't think you'll find that many nowadays. But so, and the fact that they've been captured now can be used as that political. See, even the press are going, well, look, they've now been captured, and Putin is torturing them and abusing them. Yeah. And absolutely fine. I have no qualms with that whatsoever. But that's being used by the West and the media to batter Russia again. Yeah. So I really do think it is a psyop. It was to get them in, to kill the Russians. They've come from Ukraine. We know they've come from Ukraine. And now the media are going, oh, look how bad Putin is now. He's beating them and torturing them. Absolutely right. Get those electrodes on those testicles and turn up the volume, so to speak, you know, up to 11. Because this is certainly not an ISIS attack. Absolutely not.
Okay. Our American friend Paddy's been sitting listening patiently. Paddy, the floor is yours.
Okay, now, I'm gonna rant here a little bit, and some of you aren't gonna like it. It's very well for one thing. If it was the CIA, good job, job well done. That's their job. Their job is to go and run operations like this in enemy countries. Right now, Biden thinks Russia's an enemy, so that's their job. They should be doing operations like this in Iran, Saudi Arabia, and a few other places. But you know, but that's the CIA's job. So I'm sorry if that upsets everybody. And so what I have a problem is that when the CIA runs their crap here in the United States, which was illegal up until Obama was president. But you know, it's like the whole thing is. But the other
Oh, really? Flip of the, sorry, Paddy, who killed JFK again?
The mafia. The mafia did, because Robert F. Kennedy Sr. Went after them. The Kennedys, all their money came from running the mafia's liquor during Prohibition. They used all of Kennedy's trucks. That's what they used to run the booze from Canada into the United States. That's where they got their fortune from. JFK got elected through Frank Sinatra and the Chicago mob. They stole the election from Nixon and And he didn't sit there and cry about it. He said, all right, wait till next time, you know?
View is anyway that good job, CIA, if it is the CIA or some link to them.
For CIA, example, MI6.
Yeah. Good job, Iraq.
Good job. They did their job.
137 dead Russian adults, and I think there was three kids as well. Good job.
Now, I abhor the loss of life, but that is their job. That is their job. We hire these people. We hire our special branches to go in and sabotage enemy nations. That is their job. That is what we hire them to do. That's what we train them to do.
Okay. You've definitely provoked one here, Paddy. First of all, in that basis, the CIA should be attacking Washington because Washington.
Oh, I agree.
Regime there, that's your enemy.
I agree.
There's more patriots in bloody Russia, I would think, than towards America than there are in Washington, D.C. But, Paddy, before I kick off on this one, anyone else want to come and Paddy?
I do. I do. Because I'm telling you now. Here we go. Who on this planet ever give the Americans the right to go around the world doing what they feel like they wish to do? Nobody.
Be grateful that it's us that has this kind of power and nobody else.
It's America poking its nose into other people's business. And America is full of things like the NBA, which is a World Series, or IndyCar, which is a World Series. The only World Series that America truly has is the CIA, because it's the only thing that actually goes outside the USA. All your other World Series never leave the borders of the United States.
Because most people in this country do not know that the rest of the world exists. They don't care. They could care less if 100 people die in Russia, the Jews get invaded by Hamas. They don't care. You don't exist. You don't understand. The American psyche is so centralized on just the United States.
Well, remember,
and that's it.
Mexico is on the border with Israel.
Well, Biden, he rode a train there.
Adrian, you're next, but just Biden also claimed to have gone, I think, over that bridge
on a train. Right? Yeah, there's no tracks on that train. Yeah.
There's no tracks. Sorry, Adrian, you've been very patient there. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Sorry, what we're going about there? Sorry, I got distracted.
We're talking about
the CIA.
Yeah, Paddy, I would argue the CIA is currently doing more damage to America inside it than it's doing the damage to Russia and other countries.
I agree. And
the driving factor in destroying America from within at the minute and the agenda that it's on. They are the main players in that. So why are they not protecting their country like they're supposed to?
Because they hate their country. That's why, Adrian. The CIA, all the three-letter agencies, I mean, they're part of the deep state. They despise patriotic America that the likes of Paddy personifies. I mean, we know that. But I think that this sort of massacre in Moscow, like, we just can't let it go. I think that, you know, people, for example, when the Bataclan thing happened in Paris, and I think it was 96 people were slaughtered. I mean, this is nearly double the killing. And I think, for me as well, that it demonstrates that, I think several of you guys have said this, it's easy for them to pick up some low IQ Islamic radicals, pick them up on Telegram, as you guys are saying, you know, promise them the earth, moon, and the stars if they go and do this. And I reckon that's that, you know. So I put a post out saying I felt a bit bad for Muslims, and I got a bit of blowback in that. But I do, because, you know, I mean, if you get, so okay, there's Islamist lunatics, and they're, you know, they're the ones who carry this out. I was very pleased to see Putin torturing them. Yeah, I was good with that. We should do
not many
when it comes.
Sorry,
to,
David, carry on.
Yeah, and I was pleased about that. I'm glad they got them. They got them before they got back to Ukraine. And the final point, Grantonio, and then you. Final point I would make is: didn't Victoria Nuland, the Obama emissary who was behind the 2014 Ukraine
big
color
surprise
revolution,
along with John McCain,
didn't she say that 2 weeks ago Putin was going to be getting some very nasty surprises? So I'll leave it up. Grantonio,
just a very quick point that I wanted to make. Not many Russian flags in people's bios, you know. I mean, when the Bataclan happened, everybody, je suis français, Charlie Hebdo, je suis Charlie Hebdo. Not many people siding with innocent civilians who were slaughtered at a pop concert. Was it a pop concert? I don't know, but whatever, in the concert hall. People sort of pick and choose what is
found. Yeah. Yeah, actually, Grantonio, that's a very good point. You know, they put up their little flags, don't they? Their little, you know, Ukrainian flags they put up, or they put up their little "I've been jabbed, I'm so proud to have been jabbed." And when all these people are murdered,
I went to Russia a few years ago. And I remember somebody telling me that the Russians don't know about Chernobyl. That's how great the propaganda is. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. But what fascinated me was chatting to different Russians about their views on politics. Some were anti-Putin, some were pro-Putin, some were anti-Obama, some were pro-Obama, some Trump, pro-Trump, anti... Just chatting away to people. Absolutely fascinating. I think it was not Zuckerberg made it clear that it was actually okay to post stuff on social media about it was you know, okay to kill Russians and things like this. Propaganda works. If you want to dehumanize a nation, you can do it.
And it worked. And the way it works, Grantonio, and I'm seeing comments from Anne-Marie O'Sullivan, which I agree with, it propaganda works because it divides us. It's conquer. I mean, it's the game that the you know, the sort of the Black Nobility and the 300 and all the rest of them have been playing since the beginning of time. Divide and conquer, turn us against each other. Oh, what's the Muslims? Blame the Islamists. And as Anne-Marie says here, she lives next door to Muslims and they hate violence just the same as myself. You know, and I, Anne-Marie, as I say, I'm sympathetic towards that. And I mean, those who know me, Paddy in particular, I was very, very, you know, opposed to radical Islam and some of the stuff that went on in the past. But increasingly, I see this as a big chess game, and we're the ones that they want to manipulate, Grantonio, you know, and they do that by having these events. And you know, if anything, I took away from the Crocus concert hall slaughter, I just felt bad for the Russian people. I a sense of respect for Putin for being restrained, because, you know, I mean, they did go the next day, now they did go reasonably heavy, and they're going more and more heavy into Ukraine. And I kind of, you know, I don't support violence, but I understand the violence that Russia is now imposing. Because if Russia wanted, they could wipe out Ukraine tomorrow. Tomorrow. Not that, you know, the Biden regime cares, couldn't care less. But it's pretty horrific. But anyway, listen, we've spent enough time on Moscow. Paddy, I'm again, back to your part of the world.
God help us.
Paddy, I remember all of us, and Adrian, you need to come in this one. We've all talked about JFK Jr., his presidential campaign, and how he was spot on in a lot of things, and, you know, good guy and all that. And then, Paddy, he announces, I think it was yesterday, wasn't it, the lady who would be his
fellow lunatic.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly questioning him, yeah, for definite. What the hell was that about? How can he have such bad judgment? And isn't it a good thing that he's picked this lunatic? Because, yes, Adrian, she's a full-on Marxist. So all I think, Paddy, is JFK Jr. is pivoting to the left, and he comes from the left, and that's good because it won't pull any votes from
He's a Kennedy, David. He's a Kennedy. He's never was anything but going to pull from the left.
Yeah.
It's what he called it. His name alone is the only reason that he has a position. And it's also too, like, the Biden administration is still denying him Secret Service protection, which is an absolute disgrace because they like the Americans like to shoot his family. So, you know, yeah. It's and anybody running for president deserves Secret Service because the people are crazy.
Yeah.
All over the world.
But the point about it is that Gauram says, is he the new Bernie Sanders? I don't know. Adrian, do you want to jump on this one?
He's materialistic. He's materialistic. He's just, you know, he is an old, he has old fashioned liberal, great society views. Like, he believes in the welfare state. He believes you can buy people out of poverty, rather than teach them out of poverty. But, you know, his name is all he's ever had.
Mm. And as you say, I mean, it is U.S. royalty name. But Adrian, as you point out, she's this lady that he's chosen, that he unveiled the other day. She's a full on Marxist, basically.
Look at her track record. Like, she funded one of the DAs. Was it San Francisco or California anyway? And they took money away from the police and were basically giving it back to the criminals. She is a full-on Marxist. She was married to Sergey Brin of Google, and was accused of having a fling with Elon Musk, and that's why they separated. But it's a strange one because she's gonna promote the same sort of nonsense that Biden's doing, and we see that a lot of Americans are turning away from it. So why would Kennedy misjudge that so badly and pick somebody who's going to be the exact same? That's what I find strange. Yeah.
Well, no, you're right. And just on that, 3 months ago, I would have said, you know, RFK, you know, because of his strong sort of anti-vax views and so on and so forth, he would have been, likely to take some votes from Donald Trump, because Trump, as you know, is Trump's blind spot, this whole obsession, the great job he did with the jabs. He should be ashamed of that. But now, as you say, Adrian, because he's pirouetted to the left and he's taken this Marxist as his VP, but even at that, that's still not as deranged as the Biden thing. So I don't think he's going to do horribly badly, not get many votes, certainly not take votes from Donald Trump. And ultimately, because I want to see Trump prevail, I think this is all probably a good thing.
How can he have misjudged the country so badly? Because they see how badly Biden is doing in the polls and the support that Trump is getting. So how could he misjudge that? That's what I find staggering.
Yeah, I mean, Jed, you see on this one, I mean, I know we have talked a bit in the past about RFK, and he did seem solid enough, but this latest sort of diversion into having a full-on, as Adrian says, Marxist as his VP pick, that's not going to, I mean, I can't believe any Trump voters are going to go, oh yeah, he's our man, do you?
No, and again, this could be the establishment in some regards, And I'm now putting the tinfoil hat and looking at rabbit holes too. Yeah. This could be the Biden establishment. It is. It could be forcing him to have this VP to put him out the way, if you see what I mean. So he is on a fringe. So obviously the highly electable and highly intelligent and sharp-witted Joe Biden can run unabated for a second term. So that could be a possibility that he's been forced to take this because, you know, we all talk about people in power and there are, you know, the Epsteins of this world that have a book on people. Well, you know, is there a book on him? Do they have a hold on him and therefore you will take this lunatic and then subsequently that will push you to the fringes? You know what I mean? And therefore, Biden then doesn't have to worry about him pulling votes from Biden. Yeah, because Biden, you know, clearly of sound mind and body, he's going to run for a second term.
It's a real strange one. I think what it means is for anybody on the right, so to speak, in the States, and those of us outside who follow US, it means that, I mean, you know, we've just dismissed RFK Jr. now, like, forget it. We don't want to know about you anymore, pal. You know, you've shown staggeringly bad judgment. Sorry, Grantonio, did you want to jump in there?
Marxists on the left of American politics. I mean, since when? Since when has this been happening?
Since 1910. I mean, since
Jed's talking about this Marxist on the fringe of American politics. Look at the Biden administration. A lot of these people in the Democrats, they believe in abortion up till birth. They believe in critical race theory, the idea that white people are automatically racist. They don't believe in borders. They're all internationalists. This idea that Kennedy's got some running mate who happens to be a Marxist, it's a
very good point. A very good point, actually, Grantonio. Yeah, yeah. The radicals, which I would, I mean, I think the radicals really took off under Obama. Obama is a very, very dangerous character. Very dangerous character. And again, wasn't it interesting that within a few days of him visiting Downing Street, oh look, the massacre in Moscow. So it was a coincidence. But
Jen Psaki, David. Sorry to interrupt. Jen, is that her name? She was the press secretary.
Jen Psaki, yeah.
She used to wear a hat with a hammer and sickle on it. Why is that worse than wearing a hat with a swastika? Like, why?
No reason. It's just as bad. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Adrian says to me, Obama was sent to destroy the USA from within. Yes, he was. Absolutely agree with that. And I think he's done a hell of a job. And I'll tell you what, quick view around
the thing was, Hillary was supposed to follow him. She had a part to play too, and unfortunately she didn't get to do it because Trump beat her to it. Now they're trying to follow up on the rest of those plans. But Obama is the original Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, yeah, I agree completely. I think, Paddy, you'd agree with that as well. I mean, Paddy, Obama's the most dangerous guy that has ever been.
Obama was the biggest disappointment in American history. Here was a man who finally proved Obama got the majority of the white vote in the United States because this was the final thing. This was to prove that civil rights was a success. Everything was done where, you know, there's no more, that racism is like almost completely defeated except for a few inbreds and they'll always exist. And it turned out just the complete opposite. He turned around and divided this country into back before the civil rights generation, and he set up this to destroy Americans' influence around the world, and he did it by aligning with what was our enemies in the Middle Eastern area. And everything else, and the Biden administration is continuing with it. That's why they're paying Hamas. They just voted against Israel in the UN for the first time in history. It's like, but you know, I'm sorry. It's like we got Marxists, and the Marxists have been in the United States since 1910. Woodrow Wilson was a Marxist, but they, you know, this is just. I'm watching my country, and it's just like if we don't if Trump doesn't get elected, there's going to be batten down the hatches because there's going to be some heavy crap that goes down.
If Trump doesn't get elected, you're done. You are done because another 4 or 5 years of Biden, well, whatever permutation you get of the Dems, that, it's all over then, Paddy. There's no way back because the millions of illegal migrants that you have coming in are going to transform your country, as Grantonio said, some of the incredibly radical policies, I mean, that the Biden regime has. I don't think it's survivable another Democrat term. But I could be wrong. But I mean, you know, I agree with Anne-Marie, can I say, who always come out really good comments tonight. She says, it's unlikely the deep state will let anyone legit and against the establishment near the presidency. Anne-Marie, that's a very good question, a very good point. I don't, you know, Adrian, I'll come to you in this one because, as you say, Hillary Clinton was supposed to get it in 2016, but she didn't. How did the deep state mess up then? And do you think they're going to mess up again?
Because they were using the voting machines and it was the same pigs eating from the same trough, they were able to convince people, oh, the Republicans won, oh, the Democrats won, because they went off the popular vote. Trump targeted the Electoral College. They didn't see that coming. And that's how the election is decided. The Electoral College votes, not the popular vote. He blindsided.
Because we're a republic.
How is he going to... Well, you're, yeah, well, okay, Adrian. So how then does Trump win this year?
Well, Obama created the insurgency, right? So what Trump has now done is the counterinsurgency. Trump has to get the ordinary people, but not just the Republicans. He now needs to target the Democrats. And there will be Democrats who are looking at Joe Biden going, what? How are you president? How can the country be in the mess that it's in after 3 or 4 short years? Mm-hmm. And those people will start to wake up. And if some of their kids get drafted into a war, that'll wake parents up. Some of the kids are losing school places for illegals. Some of the families are losing homes to house the illegals. That will turn people against the Democrats in those cities. Those people will then start voting for Trump. And no matter how many illegal aliens they bring in, they will still not outnumber. Now, yeah. I do believe they're going to try and do something to stop the election. A cyber attack, that film Leave the World Behind give loads of messages. There's another one coming called Civil War. But I think we'll try and delay the election because they know they can't win this time.
Put it like this. It's fascinating. But okay, we're in the last 10 minutes. And thanks, by the way, everyone, for allowing us to get into this final bit. Okay. Jed, I'm coming to you in this one first. Because good old London Town. As you know, Jed, you and I and Leslie and others were in London the 1st of March, and I was really happy to get the hell out of London. And I was just looking at the some of the images from Oxford Street, Piccadilly Circus, where in this Easter week, you know, the climax of the Christian calendar, how is that celebrated in London, Jed? Why, the Ramadan lights have gone up, care of Sadiq Khan, and voted in by Westminster Council, Labour-controlled Westminster Council. So Anne-Marie says it's absolutely freezing in London. I bet it is, but not just freezing, but Jed, I was, you know, so enraged to see, because it's in your face. It's basically saying, stuff you Christians, here's the Ramadan lights, and, you know, what do you think?
It saddens me, David, but, you know, he has systematically destroyed our capital city, and he will continue to do it. I'm not even sure anybody will defeat him because of the demographic situation within London. But it is. You know, we can celebrate every single religion on this planet except, in London this is, except Christianity and and whatever the terminology is for Jews. You can't do them too. Yeah. It's a Christian country still, just. Okay. And at Easter, We don't. Now you could say, well, Christians have lots of celebrations. We do, to a degree, but Easter is a key one, isn't it?
Well, it's the key one.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Muslims and Christians. Muslims and Christians both believe in the birth of Christ. Only Christians believe in the resurrection. And that's why this Sunday is so important for Christianity. Khan might have destroyed London, Jed, but he will never destroy Christianity. Can I just wish everybody a happy hate Hamza Yusuf on Monday day? And can I just wish everybody here, David, Adrian, Jed, Paddy, everybody else a happy Easter. Just wanted to tell.
Thanks,
Grand Antonio, and the same to you as well. And as I say, we will be your character references when you are thrown into prison, care of our good friend Humza. But no, back on topic. I thought this was Adrian. I think this was ritual humiliation, to put going to one of my own themes. I think that this was all about. The London Mayor Sadiq Khan basically saying, "Look, Christians, just get over it, right? This is becoming a Muslim city," which is very, very, very provocative. I think
you were conquered from within, led by your own politics.
Yeah, just same with you, Lars. Yeah,
yeah, we're going down the same path. Yeah, it's just taking longer.
There's a common theme here. It's our politicians. We're the cure, because we're the ones that put them in place.
Well, we're the ones.
As long as it's done peacefully, it must be done by the letter of the law, and they must be held to account by the law. We shall not resort to violence. That is the last straw.
No,
that is the last straw.
Because they are using the law against us. They are creating laws against us. Like,
and we have to beat them at their own game. We have to beat them at their own game. And until the common man is willing to fight back on a civil level playing field and say enough is enough,
you keep talking about revolution.
You keep talking about revolution and sending hundred million guns. That's the fail safe in the United States, because we can bitch and moan, and because it reaches critical mass, if the people say no, they really can't enforce yes on them because of our arms. That is our only fail safe. Nobody wants that, because you do not want to see Americans shooting each other. We are animals. You haven't lived in any of our cities. I have. I lived in Philadelphia, which has been one of the most violent city since they've recorded the numbers. You know, that's just the way it is. You don't want us shooting each other.
Nobody does. No, Paddy, I agree. But I would gently point out, remind me how the United States got its independence. Was that done peacefully using...
Hell no, man. You were coming to get our guns. That's what the two lights are for. The British are coming. They were coming to seize the arsenal. So what were they met with? They were met with heavy gunfire. And that's, you know... the way it is, because if you know you screw with us, we shoot you.
Yeah, thanks by the way, Brett, for the kind comments about the podcast. I do my best. Well, you know, the thing is that when it comes to London and the Ramadan lights, again, it is this point about it's divisive, it's provocative, and you know, it doesn't do anything to help people get along, and you know, but then I don't think Sadiq Khan wants that. And by the way, Jed, you mentioned the fact that we know, would Sadiq Khan get in? He will absolutely get in. He's sitting at about 56% in the polls, and Susan Hall, who's a Conservative challenger, she's at 29%. He's guaranteed back in, which for another term, at which point, you know, I mean, honestly, I definitely think it's going to be a very tough time for London. But actually, Paddy, funnily enough, it's a bit like if Biden gets back in, or the Biden regime calls it, if it gets another term, it's going to be tough times. So Sadiq Khan's a shoe-in in London, Paddy. Or Paddy, you're right. Sadly, he is. But the big game really, Paddy, is being played in your country. It's really,
it's high stakes, man. You know, it's just like, I don't know what it's, I don't know how it's going to play out. This is going to be an interesting next few months. We've got until November to watch this insanity play out and how, you know, and it's going to be real interesting. And then we've got until the votes are counted, which this is going to be a zoo. The next 8 months in the United States are going to be the best circus you have ever watched in your life. Just pray that it doesn't start to get violent.
Well, the thing is that Amory says regarding Sadiq Khan, I won't be voting for him. He used to order the riot police to attack the freedom rallies. Oh, yeah. We are, Adrian, in for a mad 12 to 18 months. But listen, we have reached the end of an hour and a half, folks. We've given you the full time. And as always, the conversation is so fascinating. It could go on for another hour and a half. But I think we're going to have to draw a line under it there. So can I do my usual and thank everybody, actually. All the people in the comment stream here. It's just brilliant. I love to see all your comments. Yes, can I just echo what Adrian and Grantonio have said and wish everyone a very happy Easter celebration. There may be, I'll tell you more in due course, but a new arrival within the Vance household, which is imminent. So I'll tell you more about that, I'm sure, by the next time we meet. So look, happy Easter to everyone. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for all your the kind gifts that we've had tonight that keep the wheels on this here. And thanks, Adrian, and everyone. And the podcast will be back tomorrow, maybe Good Friday, but there's going to be good podcasts, and I'm going to keep going as long as I can. So look, folks, catch you all soon. Thanks so much for everything, and it's good night.